Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm so happy to be with you again this week. Have you ever noticed that you repeat yourself when you talk to your partner? Do you hear yourself bringing up the same issue or complaint over and over again to the point that you're getting sick of hearing your own voice? And most importantly, have you observed that the more you reiterate your point, the deafer your partner becomes? Well, today I'm going to explain why couples fall into this pattern, and I'm going to show you how to break free of the broken record symphony. So stay tuned to hear the news of how to stop singing the broken record blues. Now, I have three questions for you. The first one is called Help. And in Help, I assist a young man who reached out to his ex-girlfriend a year and a half after the breakup. And in order to apologize, he just wanted to tell her he was sorry for what he did wrong and make things right with her. But she basically told him to F off. So stick around to discover what he can do to break this Mexican standoff. And in Cannot Decide to Love or to Leave, I assist a man whose marriage has been troubled for decades. His wife has cheated on him more than once and had a child by another man. And they both want to stay together. So stand by for my surprisingly simple recipe for resurrecting their love. And in You're Blue in the Face from Nagging, I advise a woman who nags her husband regarding his refusal to spend time with the family. So stay tuned to find out how she can put her tongue to better use by constructively communicating her wishes. And then I do have a reading between the sheets segment for you. This is where I put your toughest sexual problems to bed. And this week, the question is missing that spark. And I'm helping out a woman whose sex life is more like an ex-life. It's sinking fast as a result of their constant fighting over money and his mother. So stand by to find out how they can give the sack to their fights and start enjoying each other in the sack again. So now let me get on to today's topic. And let me start with a story for you. Sue and Henry, they're locked in a box spring battle. And every night, Henry hogs the covers, and Sue is forced to weather a frozen fanny. And over breakfast, she blasts Henry. Haven't I told you 1,000 times to quit yanking the friggin' covers off of me? How selfish can you be? How many times do I have to keep on saying that I'm freezing without the blanket on me? I've asked you 1,000 times to be more considerate. I'm sick of saying this over and over again. To which Henry responds, yeah, like your mother Teresa. You do everything perfect. I've asked you 1,000,000 times to close a freaking garage door after you back out, but no, every day I come home to find the damn door open. To which she replies, what's that got to do with what I'm telling you about the blanket? You can see where this discussion is headed. Now, if we dissect this dispute, what do we see? Sue is so tired of not being heard and responded to, so she comes at Henry with both barrels. But her heated approach triggers a defensive reaction. And then he turns the tables on her and blames her for something that she does wrong. In turn, she doesn't feel heard, so she returns to her issue and repeats it once again, this time with even more heat, which makes him even more defensive and deaf. And this is how the broken record phenomenon is born. Now, in the story I just told you, you could see the two main symptoms of the broken record phenomena. The first one is obviously you're arguing recycled issues. The same thing keeps coming up again and again. And the second is you sound like an accountant whose sentences are peppered with numbers, referring to the number of times you've had to bring up the issue, you know, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Now, let me just say, every living being on this earth needs to feel truly heard and understood. This need has its origins in childhood. So think about it. The world is a scary place, especially for kids. The feelings that we all feel when we're young are overwhelming. And we need our parents to help us to carry the emotional cross. Because most parents don't realize how primary this task is, children are left to bear all kinds of emotional burdens that are too big for their tiny souls to sustain. These pains and these hurts get shoved under our emotional rugs, and they're buried temporarily from our awareness, but they're not gone from our psyches. Then we grow up and fall in love. But what we don't realize is that we've carried these hurts and fears with us into our adult relationships. I call this baggage, old scars. Now, here's where things inevitably go south. When we fall in love, our unconscious mind sees a second chance to receive from our partners the emotional support and understanding that we lacked when we were young. But disappointment soon emerges when our partners fail to meet our needs and when they let us down in the exact ways our parents did. If you're like most people, your hurt turns to anger, and guess what? When you come at your partner in an accusatory way, your partner becomes defensive and deaf. And what happens next? You get louder and louder and repeat yourself more and more, and now you're locked into the broken record phenomenon. Now, a second ago, I said that not feeling heard leads to this phenomenon. So we return to the same issue over and over again because we didn't resolve the issue the last time. Now, in many cases, feeling heard and understood is sufficient to resolve most issues. And you're going to keep recycling your issue until you finally feel heard and understood. And I can't stress this point enough. When your partner and you feel truly heard and understood, the issue, the gripe, the beef just goes away. Now, there are also cases in which understanding isn't sufficient. I'm going to grant you that. There are cases in which you just have to have a behavioral change to feel resolved, like the case of the covers. And in this case, you're going to keep recycling the issue because you haven't had a resolution. Now, there's another reason why couples commonly fall into the broken record phenomenon. And this is because we're not actually addressing the real issue. Now, if you aren't dealing with what's really going on, your discussions go nowhere. So think about the two most common fights that people fight about, sex and money. Well, to the unconscious mind, sexual fights often aren't really about sex, nor are money fights really always about money. On the contrary, sex and money, to the unconscious mind, translate into love and emotional feeding or lack thereof. So if you're not giving me sex, I'm really feeling you don't love me. Or you're stiff with the money, you don't love me. So what's diabolical is the fact that the overt fight content actually acts as a smokescreen. So you get so caught up in the overt fight that you're burning up in a forest fire of the overt fight. Meanwhile, the smoke is actually blinding you from seeing the actual forest fire from the trees. So if you don't talk about the real issue, you're never going to resolve it. Now, did you know that stripping can actually solve this problem? Now, I'm not talking about getting naked. I'm talking about stripping away the overt content of the fight, the who did what to whom, the blanket pulled off, and you just go beyond the content beneath it to get to the real issue that lies beneath. Now, I've developed a technique that I call drawing a fight map, and this enables you to do just this. Just as a restorer strips the outer layers of paint to reveal the original finish, you can go beneath the outer layer, the overt content of your fight, to reveal the underlying traumas or issues that are lurking beneath. So how do you do this? In order to determine what traumas or issues are lying beneath your fight, you need to flesh out on paper the emotional mapping of your conflict. And to do this, forget the apparent content, you know, your chilly cheeks, the forgotten foreplay, whatever, and study instead the emotional content of the fight. So let me give you an example of how a couple that I worked with, Phil and Nancy, did this. And then we're going to draw on their example to explain how you can strip away the content of any of your troublesome fights. So here's their overt fight. She's always saying, "Why can't you take me out sometimes? Would it kill you to make me happy?" And she's whining. And he says, "No, it wouldn't kill me." "So what's your problem?" she says. He says, "God, I'm so busy with work and you're worried about stupid outings." She says, "It's not stupid. It's important to me. And that should matter to you." He says, "You matter. Why do you think I work as hard as I do?" And then she says, "What's work got to do with my feelings? You don't care about me at all." And he says, "That's right. I don't care about you at all. I don't stay out drinking. I don't cheat, but I don't care." And he shouts as he storms from the room. And she says, "God, I can't talk to you. You just won't listen." All right. How do they draw a fight map? So to do this, they have to chart the emotional course of the fight. And in the first step, think about one of your common fights. And for the moment, forget the content of the fight. Focus on the feelings the fight stirs in you. And then write these feelings down. So let me explain to you how Nancy and Phil stripped away the overt fight content to reveal the emotional mapping of their issue. From Nancy's perspective, okay, she wants something from Phil. He makes excuses as to why he can't give her what she wants. She gets hurt and angry. He becomes defensive. She gets angrier. He digs his heels in even further. She feels hurt that he doesn't love her enough to listen and change the behaviors that hurt her. So she presses harder and harder, and he withdraws further and further into excuses and denial. All right, that's her emotional mapping of what went on. Now, Phil, when Nancy wants something from him, she orders and manipulates him. She gives him no freedom whatsoever. He has to do exactly as she wants or else she's furious. He feels angry like a trapped animal. He feels like running to escape her rage and demands. All right. Now, the next step in drawing the fight map is you want to ask yourself how the fight, what the feelings that are stirred in you, and how the feelings that are stirred in you connect to your childhood. Did you feel these feelings in childhood? So write these feelings down and then ask yourself, who triggered those feelings in me when I was a kid? So let's go back to Nancy and Phil, and we'll see what they came up with for this step. Nancy recalled feeling impotent, frustrated, hurt, angry whenever she tried unsuccessfully to get her father to respond to her. And Phil felt controlled by his mother and enraged at how she forced him to do her will. And whenever he defied his mother, he had to suffer her fury and threats of abandonment. Okay, so now step three is make a link to a specific childhood memory. So you want to uncover an early memory in which you felt the way you feel when you argue with your mate. With whom were you struggling? What happened? How did the fight play out? Write all this down too. So now this is how Nancy and Phil handle this step. Nancy recalled pleading with her father to come to at least one of her baseball games. He never showed. She begged and cried, but he never relented. And Phil, he remembered his mother forcing him to clean his room on a sunny day, and when he resisted, she shouted at him and locked him in his room without supper. Okay, now here's the final step, and this is really important. Ask yourself what type of treatment you yearned for from your parent. This is your happy ending. And so you want to figure out what you wished for in your struggles with your parent. How did you wish for it to work out? Did you wish your parents would apologize, see your point of view? Did you wish for a compromise? Now, write down your desired outcome. Now, let's return to Nancy and Phil for this last step. Nancy says she wished that her father had responded to her requests at least sometimes. And Phil, he needed to feel free to assert himself without being punished. Now, once you've identified the treatment you desired from your parents, you have a fairly clear understanding of what your mind is hoping to accomplish in your fights with your mate, your happy ending. Now, here's where the marriage or the relationship comes in, because you now have the opportunity to become healing agents for each other. But the big question is, why don't most couples succeed in obtaining their happy endings? Why, for example, hasn't Nancy succeeded in obtaining what she needs from Phil? Remember now, Phil is just like Nancy's father, and she relates to him the way she related to her dad. And she used to scream, yell, pout, and whine at her father without result. And since Phil emotionally resembles her dad, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out why Nancy's methods aren't cutting it with him. So the fact that she's chosen a mate like her dad can't be changed, but what can be changed is her way of dealing with her husband. In other words, this aspect of the repetition of her childhood pain by adopting the same strategies that she used with her father is under Nancy's control. And if she wants to achieve her happy ending, she's going to modify her way of relating to Phil. Okay? So you have to chart a new course of action that's going to steer you into the happy ending. So to break the broken record phenomenon, you have to make sure that you're really talking about the actual issue. And when you speak to your partner, stay cool and don't attack your partner so he or she will want to listen to you. Otherwise, your partner is going to become deaf and defensive, and we're never going to break out of the broken record phenomenon. Now, I have two last points that I want to share with you on this topic of how to break the point. If you are the speaker, remember you have the power to inspire your partner to give you that patient listening ear that you've always needed. And this means it's up to you to deliver a message that's hearable by talking in a non-attacking way. Remember what you say or do boomerangs back on you. And while it may feel good to get your rocks off in the moment, on the rocks is where your relationship is going to end up. So speaking in a calm and constructive way that invites your partner to want to listen, understand, and respond to you is ultimately the gift that you give yourself. Now, if you're the listener, here's a very important tip. When you hear your partner beginning to repeat him or herself, know that it's because you aren't doing a good enough job listening. And you're not conveying the fact that you have indeed heard and understood. So to prevent the broken record from replaying and to stop a fight before it starts, simply say, I've noticed you're repeating yourself. You must not feel that I've heard you. Let me repeat what you said to make sure I did get what you're saying. And after you finish restating what you understand your partner to be saying, ask if you got it right. And the beauty of this communication is that it shows you want to hear. And in the case that you got it wrong, you're inviting your partner to try again. Once again, you'll repeat what you heard, and you'll keep doing this until you have a meeting of the minds and your partner feels truly heard and understood by you. I'm going to take a brief break. When I come back, I'm going to give you one other little tip that's going to break your broken record blues. Be back in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf and I'm talking with you today about how to break free of the broken record symphony. And in the first segment, I told you just before I broke that if you're the speaker, you have the power to inspire your partner to really listen to you if you cool down what you're saying and don't attack. And I said that the listener has the power to break the broken record symphony by making sure that he or she lets the speaker know that he heard, by replaying what you heard and continually replaying until the point was made that you did get it. Now, you know, this week I gave a talk to the Bar Association, and it was a riot. During the question and answer period, a lawyer asked me why his wife keeps changing the subject and returning to the same point again and again. And he said to me, I think she just wants to win the argument. Well, I said to him, dude, you don't want to win it? How sad that this educated man has missed the point entirely. Relationships are not a court of law. They are a court of love. And I told him this. And if you're focused on winning, you've already lost. Because we've been all put on this earth to fulfill the divine call to serve as channels for God's love, to patiently listen and hold each other's hearts. And the better we listen, the better we're heard. So remember, listening is love in action. And I invite you to embrace those closest to you, to redouble your efforts to hear this divine call, to listen to others with the ears of your heart. Do this, and you no longer will be singing the broken record blues. All righty, let me give you a couple of tweets on this topic. You can break free of the broken record symphony. So listen to me, okay? And if your talks sound like records that are broken, your relationship may soon become a mere token. Here's another. Relationship finesse is listening more and talking less. And another. Play back what your partner says to you, and you'll be hearing more. I love you. And if you've fallen into relationship accounting, your relationship problems are mounting. And listen to your spouse, and you'll have a happy house. And you know it's time to put your tongue upon the shelf when your partner has started repeating him or herself. And here's another. Make your tongue go slack, or else you'll be seeing more of your partner's back. And model after the silent mouse and listen better to your spouse. When you sing the broken record blues, your relationship may turn into very old news. And delouse your emotional house by listening to your spouse. And you know your tongue is doing too much beating when your partner's words have begun repeating. And last, identifying the emotional heart of the matter will help you solve what's the matter. Okay. Now, you know, there's a researcher named Dr. Gottman. He's out of the Love Lab at the University of Washington, and he's done a lot of research on something called summarizing self syndrome. And it is very similar to the broken record phenomenon. It's where you keep repeating and restating. And these the symptoms of this are very similar to what I said. You feel hurt. You feel not listened to. You feel that the other person never sees your point of view. Your conversation seems to always drift off beam. You never seem to stay on topic long enough to solve it. And then you're also doing this mind reading thing, because this is a real danger. As you really get to know another person very well, you'll often act and think that you can read the other person's mind. And this leads to a great deal of miscommunication and obviously not feeling heard. And then part of it is this kitchen sinking, which is one of my fight traps, where each discussion, you throw everything that's bugging you since the beginning of time into the kitchen sink. And to end this summarizing self syndrome, Gottman confirms really what I'm saying based on my own clinical research. You have to give feedback, listen to the feedback, summarize and validate, and check the impact of your words and discuss if there's any discrepancy. So we all know, research shows us again and again, validation, meaning that you communicate to your spouse that you are understanding, you're putting yourself on his or her emotional side of the fence. It doesn't mean I agree with you, you're right and I'm wrong. It just means I see there's the possibility of another point of view. You make sense to me. And obviously, the more you're able to hold differing views, the better you're going to do. So I'm going to take another little break, and I'll be back with you in a moment for some of those juicy questions.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hi again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. This is the time in the show where I answer your tough questions. And this one's called Help. So this is a very tough question, short but not sweet. My girlfriend broke up with me over a year and a half ago. Our breakup was really bad, and I blame myself for some of the problems we had before she broke up with me. Now, after 1.5 years, I've tried to contact her by calling her, and she refuses to answer. But instead, she SMSs me, asking if I miss her or I want to play with her. And I replied and said, I do miss you, and I am not playing with you. And she said she'll never forget or forgive what I did to her. And she was using words like, you effed me up and you should F off. Don't miss me and don't call me. What should I do? I want to make things right and for her to forgive for what I did to her. Signed, confused. Okay. What really impresses me about your question is your determination to make things right for her. And this tells me what a good person you are. And you truly deserve a chance to put things right. Now, the problem is this girl is so pissed off at you. And I always say that anger is never the primary emotion. Anger conceals the more vulnerable emotions such as fear, hurt, and sadness. Now, at first I thought that she asked if you miss her because a part of her was hoping that you actually do miss her. But then the way she blasted you when you admitted to missing her made me wonder if she only asked the question in order to bait you to set you up for the beating that followed. And when she beat you, she made reference to your having played with her. And I'm assuming you know what she means, that you did. Now, if you want to make this right, then you need to take responsibility for what you did to her. And to do this, you would say, I know how much I wronged you by doing, and then you fill in what you did. And you can't believe how much I want to make this right for you. And I'm not asking you to forgive me or trust me. I just want the chance to be able to talk with you and have you tell me everything that I did wrong. And even though I can't take back what I did, the least I can do is listen and hopefully help you heal from the pain I gave you. And I know you don't owe me anything, but I would appreciate your feedback, which will actually help me become a better person. Now, when you do this, you have to be entirely genuine, because the words have to come from your heart. If she senses that you're only trying to worm your way back into a relationship with her or getting forgiveness from her for your sake, your communication is going to backfire big time. So if you're persistent and you don't give up, there's a good chance that it will pay off and she will see that you are truly devoted and not out to play her. Now, if she doesn't accept your offer, there's nothing more you can do here except learn from your mistakes and never play another woman again. Now, speaking of playing a woman, I want you to analyze yourself and figure out why you did what you did, because I'm betting that old scars from your own childhood led you to behave improperly, because people don't play games with others or play others unless they're angry over having been played themselves. And I want you to read my book, Till Death Do Us Part, unless they kill you first, because it lists every old scar known to man, and then it shows you how each of these scars express themselves in our adult relationships and the exact emotional medicine you need to heal each specific scar. And by all means, use my book to help you so that you are sure that the scar doesn't lead you to play another woman again. So I want to hear how you make out, because I am rooting for you. All right, now here's another question called You're Blue in the Face from Nagging. Dear Dr. Love, my husband doesn't spend much time with me or my son. We never do things as a family. I try talking about us doing things as a family till I'm blue in the face and things haven't changed. It's almost 2 years that we've been married and we've only been out once as a family. Help! Okay, all right. Now you say you've tried talking till you're blue in the face. And I think you mean that you've been nagging him. Now, I understand that his unresponsiveness provokes you to nag. However, the more you nag, the more he's going to be unresponsive. This is because a person who is nagged feels angry, and nobody feels like being responsive when he or she is angry. Now, you are caught in a Mexican standoff, and the question is how to break the cycle. Now, the first thing you need to do is to find a different way of telling him how his behavior is landing with you. So I want you also to read Till Death Do Us Part, because it's going to show you in great detail how to present your issue so that he's going to want to listen and respond. Now, I obviously can't condense the entire book into this short answer that I'm giving you, so do yourself a favor and read the book. And this sounds like that Time Life ad, read the book. But what you want to remember is that you need to stay cool when you talk to him. And if you come at him with heat, and I understand that you feel like doing so because he's been so unresponsive for so long, but if you do come at him with heat, he's going to ignore you all the more. So you're the author of your fate here. And if you want to make headway, you have to make the resolution to speak to him in a cool way. So losing your cool may get your rocks off in the moment, but I always say on the rocks is where your relationship is going to end up. So tell yourself that making this shift is taking care of yourself and seeing to it that your needs will be met in the long run. So when you speak to him, use my XY formula. I explain this fully until death do us part. So the XY formula is your problem statement, and it consists of describing what he's saying or doing and how you feel about it. Now, I want you to avoid the word you so that you don't make him feel like you're attacking him. So instead of saying, when you do this and when you do that, you would reword your problem statement so the word you isn't in there. You would say something more neutral like, I feel sad, or whatever you do feel, when we don't spend time together. See? Neutral, we. Okay? Now, since your guy is obviously defensive, you'll want to preface the XY formula with what I call a disclaimer. And this is a positive support statement that shows him that you aren't out to deprive him of vital bodily parts. So the disclaimer is going to prevent his guard from going up and put him in a more receptive frame of mind. So when you think about the disclaimer, and you really should think about what you're going to say before you speak, you should refer to something positive about him, a trait that you admire or a quality that you know is going to prove helpful in your discussion. And then you're going to finish with a clear suggestion for the future. So it might sound like, it would mean a lot to me if we had one day a week together as a family. That's a clear suggestion. Now, you're also going to want to engage in an open discussion with him to understand more about why he's behaving the way he is. And the goal is understanding, not trying to force change down his throat. Okay? Because if he feels that he's at gunpoint, he's going to become more resistant. So your discussion might go something like this. I notice that we're in a deadlock, and I nag about not having enough time together, and the more I nag, the less inclined you are to respond, and I need your help to break this cycle. Now, you can then talk about how begging for what you want connects to your childhood. Surely you were frustrated and deprived, and how this struggle with him makes you feel the same pain as you felt as a kid. And then you could ask him to talk about how being nagged relates to his own history. Was he nagged as a kid, and is he used to being in the doghouse? And he needs to ask himself how he feels when you nag him and how this feeling relates to his past. Is he furious at his mom or dad and expressing that anger by being ungiving to you? And he also needs to figure out how he wants you to feel when he doesn't spend time with you. Hurt? Angry? And how does he want you to respond to him? Does he want you to be angry? And then we also need to have him explore whether he was neglected as a kid. And is he, without realizing, giving you an emotional demonstration of how he suffered? Does he want you to suffer what he felt so that you can understand and feel his pain? Or is he angry with you and not being giving to you could be an expression of that anger? So it'd be good to ask him to tell you if he's mad. And is there something that you're doing or not doing besides the nagging that's infuriating him? Now, the point of the discussion is to break the deadlock. Stop the finger pointing and start understanding why you are both behaving the way you are and in the mess you're in. And both of you need to look at your roles in keeping this war alive, and you both need to ask yourselves what you can do to make a better connection with each other. Now, change will need to come from both sides in order to break this impasse. So in order for him to want to be with you more, he is surely going to need you to say and do things differently so that he feels more responsive to you. And if you get nothing else from what I'm telling you, get the fact that you're going to need to approach him and speak to him in a completely different way. Instead of nagging him, get him talking about his history and his anger that is being expressed through his ungiving behavior. And when you understand why he's mad at you, thank him for telling you and make steps to be more responsive to him. Because that kind of positive demonstration should invite the same responsive behavior in return. And above all, you know, that Beatles song is really a song that you should live by if you want to break this broken record. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make, right? So if you focus on giving to him instead of demanding from him, you will be rewarded in kind. You know, I was just thinking about this story. I often think about this because this is a perfect example of a couple who was so locked in the broken record blues, this broken record phenomenon. He was a very famous doctor, and they flew in to see me, and they'd been married for decades, and the wife was so fed up, she was ready to leave him. She was done with the marriage. And she said, I'm sick of saying the same thing over and over again. I say the same complaint year after year after year. He never listens. So I said to the wife, what you don't realize, and this is the whole premise of Till Death Do Us Part, and it's based on solid research, When you come at a guy with heated communications, his body switches into the fight-flight mode, and he shuts down. Because he doesn't want to physically fight you, he flees, and he shuts down. And one of the ways that men shut down is they go into a cognitive shutdown, and they do not hear what you're saying. And I told her, I swear to you, this man has never heard you once in all these years. She says, I don't believe it, I don't trust him. I said, fine, don't believe him, don't trust him. Just tell him once more, calmly, without an attack, what he's doing and how you feel. And I am not kidding. She did it. He burst into tears. He said, I never heard you before. I never knew you felt that way. I will change. And do you know that man changed? And the PS to this story, a couple years ago, I got a phone call from them. And they said, you know, after all these years, since that day, we have been happy together. Our marriage has gone wonderfully. So they broke the broken record blues by her calmly describing what he was doing and how she felt, which enabled him to hear her, and the rest was history. It's not a wonderful story. In fact, you know, that story, when I was selling my book to a publisher, the Till Death Do Us Part book, my literary agent made me go around. We did a dog and pony show, and she said, that's the story I want you to tell to explain why your method works. And I did. And obviously the book sold. I had a bidding war, and it really spoke to the editors and the publishers. So I want you to take what I say to heart and really listen with the ears of your heart and speak coolly, and you'll break your broken record blues. All right. I'm going to take a little break now. When I come back, I'll have another juicy question for you.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. So I'm answering the questions that you submitted to me. I wish I could answer every question. You know, everybody that comes to my website and reaches out to me, I feel as though I know you. You're part of my family, because we are all one family, and we're all here to love each other as best we can, strangers, family, friends, children, siblings. And as I said, listening is an absolute way of putting your love in action. So here's a question. Cannot decide to love or to leave. Dear Dr. Love, I'm a 42-year-old man who got married 20 years ago to a woman about a year older than me. We were students when we got married, and we started work together. 3 years into the marriage, she met a guy she got involved with who later left the picture because she did not go with him. But in this period, she had a child, which I thought was mine, only to be told 6 months after his birth that he was not mine. But I decided to move on with life and continued to stay with her and brought up the child as my own son. But I did lose a lot of self-respect while she was in that relationship because I was fighting hard to win her back, and I was pleading, crying, and hurting all over. Anyway, that episode ended, and that guy left the country, and we moved to another town. Sex between us became rather rare, and I found myself pleading for it and she not wanting it. And it made me even more desperate and forced me to behave rather stupidly after a while. I tried to talk about it, but she said that she was not interested in sex. We left our jobs and got into a business together, but my heart still wanted to be acknowledged as the man she wanted. Her expectations for me as a man were not met by me, as she wanted somebody who would be very interested in the home. And despite my attempts, I was not, and I ended up being a typical man, as per her. 11 years later, she got interested in another guy, but then she told me that she had gotten over it before anything happened. I met the guy and discussed the matter as well, and he was clear that he was not interested. Since we had a work relationship with this guy, and since we had closed the matter, there was no further fuss. Then she got pregnant, and I was definitely overjoyed. She went through a difficult pregnancy and even more difficult delivery, but thankfully we have a beautiful baby daughter. That guy was always around, and sometimes his proximity did bother me, but I trusted my wife. Things had not changed between me and my wife, and it has become a sexless affair. 7 months after the birth of my daughter, I discovered that she was having a torrid affair with this guy all along, and my daughter was not mine biologically, but his. This news was broken to me by that guy's wife, who was in the process of insulting my wife, so I rushed to her rescue and got her out of that situation. Since the guy was a non-achiever in life, I lied to him and told him that a DNA test proved that the girl was mine. He went away as expected. I was confused and even tried a deliberate affair with somebody, which didn't happen, as I was not genuinely interested in her. Strangely, I hated my wife, but she was the only one I wanted, too. I could not leave her then, and with two kids, I don't know how to leave her now. In my heart, I still love her, but I don't know what to do. I have started expecting that she has to do everything now. She still does not want me sexually, and that makes me even worse. Though she apologized for causing me so much pain, she could never bring herself to want me. She says she loves me, but does not know why she cannot sexually want me. In the meantime, 5 years, she had another relationship last year, which was more emotional than anything else. And last night she told me that she wants to feel the same magic with me, but she can't. And I am mentally screwed up now pretty bad, but I keep it under wraps and remain reasonably level-headed most of the time. I'm a reasonably good-looking man whom women mostly like, and she's extremely intelligent and a smart woman, and she says that she loves me as well, and I have been the anchor of her life, and that the others never really mattered that much. We want to work this out. What should we do? Signed, Lost. Okay, you both are in quite the fix. Now, it's also clear that you are highly attached to each other. And the good news is that she says she loves you and she wants to create or resurrect the magic somehow. Now, the problem here is the fact that you have a long-standing pattern in which she doesn't talk to you about her feelings, but she acts them out instead. Now, what do I mean? Your wife has continually expressed her disappointment, hurt, and anger towards you by cheating on you. Her behavior is a red neon screw you sign. In fact, she's screwing you by not screwing you, if you know what I mean. Now, here's the thing. Her lack of desire for you is actually a symptom. When a woman's emotional needs aren't met, her sex drive goes out to lunch. And clearly, she's been disappointed in you and the relationship for a very long time. Now, I'm not saying her behavior was proper. The cheating was no way to deal with her feelings of disappointment. But at this point, what's the good of pointing fingers? We can only move forward from this point. So if you want to repair this relationship, you're going to need to tell her that you take responsibility for not meeting her needs. And when I read your letter, I didn't get a real sense of the reason for her disappointment. You made a passing remark about your not being interested in the home, but you really need to home in much more on what went wrong for her. So to get yourself back on track, you could say, I know that I've disappointed since practically the beginning, and I want to do whatever I can to bring the magic back for you. Okay? And I want you to explain to me again what it is that I could do to make you feel that I am interested in our home. Now, listen, repeat back what you heard and then respond to her wishes. And when you do, her feelings should warm toward you. Because when she really warms toward you, her sexual desire won't be far behind. Now, I know this plan sounds too easy to believe, but the reality is it is easy and very hard at the same time. What's hard is the selfless transformation that you need to undergo in order to truly take her wishes to heart and respond to them. You know, I'm thinking now about Sigmund Freud. He once said that love doesn't come naturally to men, and certainly men resist commitment because women are more naturally selfless and biologically programmed to put babies and their loved ones first, and men are not wired this way. So to love a woman well, a man has to be willing to subjugate his ego to hers, to put her ahead of himself. And this doesn't come naturally to guys, and it isn't easy to do. But if you want a marriage that works, you will do this. Because the more you succeed in making her feel first in your mind and heart, the better your relationship is going to go. And this is the path to the resurrection of your marriage and ultimately the resurrection of your sex drive. Now, at the same time, she needs to commit to talking and not acting out. For her to be motivated to talk, she needs to know that you promise to listen, hear, and respond to her. And giving her this gift is a gift for yourself as well, because when you put her first, she will give you so much love and appreciation in return, and this will heal your wounded self-esteem and your marriage. And when she sees you put your money where your mouth is and that you listen and respond to her when she brings a need or issue to you, her feelings for you are going to soar to the heavens, I promise you, and your marriage will be healed. Now, the ball is in your court. So you need to get on the ball, and you'll soon be having a ball in more ways than one. Alrighty. So now, I have a reading between the sheets question for you. And this one is called Missing That Spark. Okay. Dear Dr. Love, I'm in a relationship that I've been in for 10 years, and I have a 2-year-old with this man, and I love him very much. But we fight all the time since we had the baby. We fight over everything, from his mother to money. It is terrible. Now, I'd love to stay with him and make things work, but I find myself lately missing that new spark you feel in a new relationship. And I'm feeling like I want to feel that again, but possibly with someone else, no one in particular, just to feel that again and be happy because I'm not now with him. And I would never cheat on him, but lately I've been tempted to. So please, if you can help me in any way, please respond to this. Signed, wanting to feel happy with him again. Okay, so now it's impossible, absolutely impossible to feel the spark of romance when you're having heated conflicts and arguments. So as I say in my book, unresolved conflict is the number one killer of love. Okay, so we need to resolve your conflicts. When you're not so angry with him, I promise you will feel that spark again. Now, I wish I could give you a crash course on how to resolve your conflict, but you got to read the book. So you got to use the XY formula to properly communicate what's bothering you. And you need to take turns listening to each other. And you're also going to want to pay close attention to the chapter on old scars, because childhood wounds cause us to misinterpret and overreact to our partners. I call this the emotional lake effect. You know what the actual lake effect is? Here, you know, when a storm passes across the Great Lakes, right? It picks up moisture and steam as it passes across the Great Lakes. Well, our unconscious minds do the same thing. We are constantly comparing present-day events with traumatic and painful events from our childhood. And as our unconscious dips into the reservoir of our memory bank, we stir the pot and really strong feelings come out. And then we are blowing a gasket over seemingly minor incidents in the present because we are literally emotionally remembering what happened to us as children. And those feelings are coming out, but they're disembodied from the actual memories. And this is what is the underlying cause of all of our overreactions and why we can't shake our feelings either, because we're not recognizing what is actually troubling us, because the overt content of the fight, as I said, acts as a smokescreen that blinds us from what is really going on. So let me give you an example of how childhood wounds create heated fighting. One of my patients got furious at her husband when they were dining out one night. He kept glancing at his watch, and her unconscious mind, without her knowing it, associated her husband with her father, who never had any time for her. Now, her husband kept checking his watch, and that's what flipped her out, because she did not realize that she was thinking he was her father and he didn't want to spend time with her either. Now, he was just checking his watch to make sure that he wasn't late to feed the meter. Okay, so the poor guy didn't know what the hell hit him. So his fury was fueled all the more because he was falsely accused when he was a child. And so all his pent-up childhood fury surfaced, and he attacked her back. Now you can see how the fight is on. So all fighting is intensified by the way our minds do this emotional lake effect and trigger the old scars, and in both of us at the same time. So you need to identify and heal these wounds. And my drawing an emotional fight back map and stripping away the content is how you will do this. And once you do, this is going to help you cool down the climate. And when your heads are cooler and clearer, it's going to be easier for you both to take turns listening and understanding each other. So I think it would help you both also to do a little role playing in which you each act out the other's part. And you play him, say exactly how you think he feels, and have him then pretend to be you and listen to what you've said and repeat it out loud to show that he understands and vice versa. And this exercise is going to help you both to put yourself in the other's emotional shoes and to truly hear and understand each other. And when you do this, most cases, feeling heard and understood is all that is needed to resolve a conflict. And remember, the greatest spiritual challenge is to love your enemy, meaning to love someone with whom you are angry. So if you both can find it in your hearts to drop the swords and really listen and understand the other person's point of view, you're going to be able to resolve your conflicts. And then and only then will you feel connected again, and the spark will come back, and you will literally live happily ever after. You know, today in my office, I had a couple, they were at each other's throats. You cannot believe. And the both of them were taking turns blaming each other. And they never could stay on one point. And then they kept bringing up more to add to the poop pile. And nobody was feeling heard. And I finally just said, basically, all of you, shut the F up right now. And we're going to take one thing at a time. And I'm going to have you start to the wife, say what's bugging you, and then I had the husband really listen, hear her, and validate her feelings. And that was it. She just said, I feel better. It was like magic. And I want you to perform this same magic in your life. And it isn't only with spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends. Do it with your friends. Do it with your family. Do it with your children. Create peace by you being the one who listens with the ears of your heart. Alrighty. That's all I have for you this week on Ask Dr. Love. It's been a pleasure being with you, and I will see you again next week on Ask Dr. Love.